A homeless child doesn't know when he'll eat again or where he'll sleep, so it's difficult for that child to go to school, let alone do well. Congress considered this in 1987 and passed a law requiring public school districts to reach out to homeless children. But the McKinney Homeless Assistance Act has been unenforceable. The federal government is now telling schools to help those children or risk losing federal aid. In the first of two stories on educating the nation's homeless children, NPR's Claudio Sanchez reports on the troubles many homeless families face just to enroll their children in school.
Orange County, California is home to the most extravagant amusement park ever created for children, Disneyland. But just past the nice hotels, family restaurants, and souvenir shops, there are dozens of run-down motels, pit stops really, for homeless families with children. The Fire Station Motel is a plain two-story building with a huge courtyard maybe half the size of a football field and a small empty swimming pool in disrepair. This is home to about 100 homeless children. It's a glorious sunny Sunday and a few kids have gathered in the middle of the yard to make paper puppets.
You pull a head, like a cheeks, and you pull hands and arms.
Adam is a timid 7-year-old in a Spider-Man t-shirt that he has clearly outgrown. He's cuddling 6 paper penguins, pretending they're alive.
You can make a boy or a girl. Right now I'm making a boy. I already finished a girl.
Like most young children at the Fire Station Motel, Adam doesn't know why he's homeless or who's to blame. And he doesn't understand why his grandmother Margaret has put him in 3 different schools this year.
To me, I feel like he's going to fail because of movement and, you know, I'd send him to school. But if every school teaches different, he's not going to learn.
Margaret says she's doing her best. She says Adam's father took off with another woman, leaving Adam's mother and little brother on the street. Margaret moved down from Northern California to help her daughter, who's been depressed and jobless since the breakup. Without a stable income and no credit, Margaret has not been able to find an apartment for them. She cleans homes and hotel rooms and earns just enough money to pay the $150 a week at the Fire Station Motel. This is no life for Adam, says Margaret. If only he could stay in the same school, she says. But without a permanent address, schools won't allow it.
They know I live in a motel. They tell you he can't come to this school district because you belong in another district.
That's going to stop.
Okay.
That is going to stop. I'm telling you right now. You call us.
Oh.
Okay. You call us.
That's great.
Yes.
That's Linda Dunlap, a retired prison nurse in her late 60s. She has spent the last 6 years helping homeless families. She gives them clothes, food, advice, and a shoulder to cry on.
The poor parents are totally stressed with what they're living in. These children are not getting out of here. They're just incredible. When they sit there and they're sobbing in your arms at the age of 4, it's the same one that asked me how old I was that I didn't know life wasn't fair. 3 weeks after that, I was holding her. She was sobbing, and her mother had killed herself upstairs.
Dunlap lives only a few blocks away from the Fire Station Motel in a comfortable ranch-style house with her husband and a great cat. She says school officials in Orange County are like most people. They've never been homeless, so they don't understand how much people suffer, especially kids. Dunlap says educators here need to care about these kids.
And then they need to know what the law is. They need to educate themselves so that they know what they are required to do with these children. Our children are not stupid. They're extremely... I'm sorry.
Dunlap's voice trails off, but her point is this. Schools in Orange County cannot banish homeless children just because they don't have a permanent address. It's a violation of the McKinney Homeless Act. Plain and simple, says Dunlap. But it's not so simple, says Connie Scheid, director of special services in the Anaheim School District. Scheid says schools know they must enroll homeless children.
However, we cannot do it for everybody simply because we are so overcrowded.
Right next door to Anaheim, in the Garden Grove School District, Special Services Coordinator Debbie Youngblood says schools have their own policy for dealing with homeless children.
First of all, they need to give an address with some sort of a phone number on it, and they need to have some sort of paperwork. And usually they'll send someone out to make sure that what they are giving to the school is authentic. If it's not, then no, they're not allowed to enroll.
She's wrong.
Barbara Duffield monitors education issues for the National Coalition for the Homeless.
There can be no barriers to the enrollment. So policies such as immunization requirements, residency requirements, any enrollment barrier needs to be removed.
Including transportation, says Duffield.
And many, many districts have solved the nightmare, have figured it out with great success. Chicago, Houston, Fresno.
Not everyone agrees that there's widespread compliance, and without better data, it's hard to know for sure. The government has not conducted any national studies on compliance. The government says there are nearly 1 million homeless students, but states are not tracking homeless students. Tracking federal dollars earmarked for homeless kids is just as hard. So it's not always clear what schools are doing for these children. In Orange County, Linda Dunlap says school officials don't know what percentage of homeless children attend school regularly.
They have no idea. They have no idea. The principals do not know. The thing that I dislike the most is the fact they don't want to know.
Dunlap says the cheap motel owners in Orange County have told her that there are 2,000 to 3,000 homeless children in Orange County. Ben Carmlish is one of those motel owners. He's taken an interest in these kids.
There's so many children here. Every time I see a child out during the day, I'm always asking them why they're not in school. And you hear stories of parents are moving around so much and the kids just need some place to go because there's so many children here after school.
Carmlish owns the Lincoln Inn, a narrow three-story building with high steel gates and a marquee out front that reads, "Stay as long as you need." It's not cheap. Carmlish charges $208 a week for a single bedroom and a kitchenette. But he's made room on his property for a small trailer that houses a free after-school program. He puts up signs warning parents about predators, like the guy in the blue sedan who's been offering kids rides the last few days. But it's not just predators parents fear. Many are afraid that schools will swoop down and take their children because of the unstable and often dangerous conditions their children live in. Still, Barbara Duffield of the National Coalition for the Homeless has high hopes that with a stronger federal law, schools will begin to reach out to parents and embrace their children.
It's very important for the school and the outreach workers to establish a trusting relationship, reassuring parents, protecting them, and advocating for them and their children.
In the meantime, parents at the Lincoln Inn are perfectly willing to keep their youngest kids out of school, at least until they can train them to lie about how or where they live. Claudia Sanchez, NPR News, Orange County, California.